Well, this morning, we're going to be wrapping up our series on the Ten Commandments. And the funny thing is, I have this wonderful challenge of speaking to all ages this morning, okay? And so I'm hoping to share something that will keep the youngest of kids kind of drawn in and focused this morning, all right? And I know that's a hard thing at times, so I'm going to try that. But I'm also going to try to challenge us old fogies here. I'm including myself in that, okay? But us old fogies, I'm going to try to keep us challenged as well through this word. And so that's my heart this morning. Now, I don't know if you kids that are in here this morning, if you know that as you've been learning the Ten Commandments downstairs, we've been learning the Ten Commandments up here. So we've been kind of walking through these commandments together. And so my question was this, is I was kind of wondering, who's been learning more? Is it the kids downstairs? Probably, because parents don't listen very well sometimes, right? So is it the kids downstairs that have been learning more, or is it the adults up here that are learning more? Maybe sometimes the kids don't listen. I have heard parents say that every once in a while, myself, all right? So how many of you think it's the kids? How many of you think it's the adults? Okay, it seems like the kids might have won out on that thing. I think we should test it out, okay? So this is what I'm thinking. I'm going to ask for one kid. I need first through fifth grade, though, because they need to be able to write and write kind of fast, so be able to write things down, okay? So I'm thinking first through fifth so that they can write and go fast, because that will help them. So I need like a first through fifth grader that would say, I've been listening, and I might be able to answer some of these questions that are going to be answered. So do I have any first through fifth graders that are willing? There's the first one right there. Julia, come on up here. All right, so Julia, come up here. But now that's the easy part. It's always easy to get kids to volunteer, but now I need an adult, okay, that thinks that they have been listening, that thinks that they have know what's going on. Is no one going to volunteer? Am I going to have to choose somebody? Are you just, you're afraid of Julia, right? What grade are you in? What grade are you going into? What grade are you going in? She's going into fifth. So the real question is, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Okay? All right. You want to go? All right. Come on up here, Teresa. Okay. This is a simple contest. Okay. I'm going to hand you basically a clipboard, and it just has 1 through 10 of the Ten Commandments. Okay. We're going to put on some music. It's about a minute and a half, and we're going to see who can get the most commandments, and they have to be in the right order. Okay. All right. So we're going to see who can get the commandments 1 through 10, and we'll see who the winner is. Okay?
Oh, no.
All right. So I'm going to hand you the clipboard. I'm going to give you a few seconds to think here. Okay? And here we go. We're going to start the music now. Go ahead. All right. Let's look. Let's start over here.
I better go study. Did I get any of them right?
She got one correct in the right spot, okay? Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's correct. But she got some correct. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt have any other gods before you. They're just not in the right place, okay? So she got one, all right? Correct, all right? I'll keep this. So if you can beat one, you've won, and it proves that you might not be smarter than a fifth grader, okay? All right, so no other gods before you, that's the first one, all right? Shall not make any idols, that's the second one. She got that correct, all right? She got, and I am surprised, number 5, most kids don't want to remember this one, honor your father and mother. She got that one correct, number 5. So that's 3, do not steal, number 8 is correct. Do not lie, number 9 is correct, and do not want what others have, which thou shalt not covet. Same thing. They learned it that way downstairs. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right here. Here's our winner. Julia. All right. So I guess what that says is I haven't done a good job of teaching up here. All the teachers downstairs, if you teach downstairs, nice job. All right. Thank you guys. Julia, I will have a prize for you later. All right. Awesome job. And, don't worry about it, because I myself have trouble remembering things. Even when I preach them the next week, I can't remember, wait, what did I talk about last week? What did I preach? But I thought we would have a little bit of fun this morning. Now, here's the thing. We've seen how good they did. But the question is, do you remember them? Did you remember them? Would you? How well would you have done up here? Now, for me, I have a little trick, okay, when it comes to memorizing things. I was even sharing about that this earlier. Like when it comes to names, I kind of have to do name association or something like that. But when it comes to remembering like long lists or things, I have this creative way that helps me remember. And maybe I need to show you this morning. Maybe I need to just kind of give you an example. Because one of the ways I remember things is by putting them into a wrap. It helps me remember things by creating a wrap out of them. Now, some of you may be aware that I did a little rapping back in my high school and college age days. And then later as a youth pastor, I did a little rapping. My name when I started in my high school and college age days was Sweet D, okay? They called me Sweet D because I was sweet as could be, right? But then as I became a youth pastor, I started rapping with one of my buddies, and he was Preacher Boy. And so I was D Preacher, all right? D for Darren, D Preacher. They call me De Preacher because I'm out to reach you about the Lord is what I wanted to teach you, all right? So I rap back there. It's been a little while. But before I share my little song with you, I'm going to need a little help from some of my first through fifth graders. Some of the first through fifth graders downstairs have been kind of working on some hand motions with me, okay? And here's the thing, you know, I when I used to rap, it was the late 80s and early 90s, okay? And they always had what? They always had background dancers, right? You know, they had the background dancers up there. So I kind of got to make myself feel like I'm back in the old rhythm, in the old groove. And so do I have any brave first to fifth graders that are going to come up and help me that have been learning? Logan, I know my daughter. Come on, Emma, you know. Come on up here. Julia, come on. Julia's coming up. Come on, Emma. All right, here, stand up right here behind me. You got to get up here behind me. Let's move this out of the way. These are going to be my background dancers. You guys could be up behind me here, all right? And you guys, okay, so as we walk through, you guys have kind of learned the basic chorus, I think, right? You kind of remember that a little bit, and you'll kind of learn it as we go along. But background dancers got to move. So you guys got to keep some sort of rhythm up here, okay? So you got to just kind of keep a rhythm. Just have some fun during it, all right? Okay? Here's the thing. Just pretend that nobody's out there, okay? We're in an empty room, all right? All right, so we're going to have some fun with this. I have to switch microphones here, though, because I can't rap through this thing, okay? So test 1, 2. All right, we're going to give this a try. We're going to see how it goes. I don't promise anything, okay? Let me preface it by this. I wrote this rap about 2 months ago, maybe, I think, and we laid it down, I don't know, a little over about 2 months, I don't know. I wrote this rap, we laid it down, and I thought, usually for me, it's real easy to, like, remember raps and just go with it, but I didn't realize, I've never written a rap like this where it talks about all the commands, and so you've got, like, the first command, or the next command, or commandment number, command, you know, and so every line almost starts the same, and I'm like, wait, what commandment I'm on? And I didn't realize how difficult it was to then memorize this through. And so I'm hoping I don't mess this up this morning, but we're going to have some fun with this. Are you guys ready?
These are the Ten Commandments, commandments from above. These are the Ten Commandments. Commandments from above, these are the Ten Commandments that He gave to us in love. God gave us these commands a long time ago. He put them in the Bible so all of us would know that He's our God, our Father up above, who gave us these words to demonstrate His love. The first command, I'm your God, says He. You shall have no other gods in your life but Me. He created each of us to be His own, so we must worship Him and Him alone. The next command, command number 2, making idols or images just won't do. We gotta stay away from doing these things, because idolatry is what it brings. Now command number 3, keep your language correct and speak God's name with love and respect. He loves all of you, so love Him the same, by making sure you always bring honor to His name. These are the Ten Commandments, commandments from above. These are the Ten Commandments that He gave to us in love. These are the Ten Commandments, commandments from above. These are the Ten Commandments that He gave to us in love.
Commandment number 4 tells of God's special day. Remember that it's holy and keep it that way. Take time to recharge and time to rest up. Hang out with God, let Him fill your cup. Commandment number 5, He wants you to know. Honoring your parents is the way you should go. Love them, obey them, do what they say. You'll live a long life if you live this way. For commandment number 6, to follow God's will. He tells us straight up, thou shalt not kill, not with a knife, a gun, or the words we say. Bet you didn't know that you could murder that way. Commandment number 7 is about the married life. Be true to your husband, be true to your wife. When we say I do, you see it's serious biz. Because God expects all of us to keep our promises.
These are the 10 commandments. Commandments from above. These are the 10 commandments that He gave to us in love. These are the 10 commandments. Commandments from above. These are the 10 commandments that He gave to us in love.
The next command, commandment number 8, stealing from others is something God hates. Don't be a thief, you see it's better to give. This is the way God wants us to live. Commandment number 9 says you shall not lie. It's hurtful to others, and that's the reason why we got to tell the truth and be honest in life. Cause lies just get bigger and cause us more strife. The last command, commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet the stuff of a friend. Wanting everything will just lead to sin. We gotta be content with what we're given. Now 10 commands that God did give, yeah, 10 commands to show us how to live, to not follow them. We just can't afford, cause these commands will lead us to the Lord.
These are the 10 commandments, commandments from above. These are the 10 commandments that He gave to us in love. These are the 10 commandments, commandments from above. These are the 10 commandments that He gave to us in love. These are the 10 commandments. Commandments from above. These are the 10 commandments that He gave to us in love. These are the 10 commandments. Commandments from above. These are the 10 commandments that He gave to us in love.
That He gave to us. He gave to us. He gave to us in love.
Give it up, these guys here. And then Toby and Dakota, they help out in the first through fifth grade class, and so they came up to kind of help them out a little bit. But all right, I'm going to switch back to this other mic. All right, I just realized how much older I've gotten. With the way I worship this morning and jumping up and down in craziness and then trying to get all that air out in one time, man, I'm getting old. So catch my breath up here. Now, the funny thing is, I think some of you are out there going, wow, I didn't know my pastor could rap. That's pretty cool. While other of you are out there going, oh my gosh, my pastor just rapped. I hope I never have to look at that again. Oh my goodness. Either way, the fact is, see, I now know the Ten Commandments, all right? And if you want to learn them, you can learn that rap, okay? We're going to put it on iTunes next week, and so you can know. By the way, I do want to thank Gary Myers helped me kind of put that track together, went there to his little studio and put it together, and then him and I think Matt played some guitar and bass and stuff on it, and so it was pretty cool. It was kind of fun to do. I've never done, you know, we used to do it for fun, youth events, things and stuff like that. I'd never kind of been in like the studio format and sitting there and doing it and going through it and redoing it and all that kind of stuff, so it was kind of a fun experience for me. But anyways, now, catch my breath. The thing is, I really believe it's important that all of us know the commands, right? God gave us the commands for us to know them. And so it's important that we actually know them. And so however you need to learn them, whether it's just memorizing, going through, whether it's a rap, whether it's whatever, I think it's important that we know them because God gave them to us. And you know, He actually wrote them Himself. Did you know that? It talks about in the Bibles. With His finger, He wrote on the stone tablets the commandments. That tells me that these commandments are important, right? That He wants us to know them. And the reality is these commands, and the reason He wants us to know them, is because these commands lead us to the cross. That's what the commandments are all about. You see, when Adam and Eve... Some of you may remember the young kids in here, the story of Adam and Eve, the Bible story. When Adam and Eve ate of the apple, right? When they ate of that fruit, sin entered the world. Now, here's the thing. Until the commandments came, many people didn't realize their sins. Many people just went about life and didn't realize their sins. These commandments, as God gave these commandments to the Israelites, it showed them that they were no different than the rest of the world. That they too had sin in their lives. Yes, they were God's people. Yes, this, but they have sin. They had sin in their life. Listen to what Romans 3, 19 through 20 says. This is the main scripture I want to read to you this morning. It says this. It says, obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, right? To God's people. For its purpose, to keep people from having excuses and to bring the entire world, everybody, into judgment before God. For no one can ever be made right in God's sight by doing what the law commands, because we learned we all fail, right? No one can keep the laws. For the more we know God's law, the clearer it becomes that we aren't obeying it. The clearer it becomes that we've sinned and that we've fallen short. You see, God requires perfection. We have to be perfect. If we have sin in our life, it separates us from God. And perfection means not breaking the commands. But guess what? We've all failed. I failed. Guess what? Your teachers in your class, hopefully they were honest with you. They failed, right? We've all failed, right? We all put other things before God, the first commandment. We all make things into idols in our lives, right? We all dishonor the name of God, the third commandment. We all fail to keep the Sabbath day. We all dishonor our parents at times in our life and one way or the other, and so on with all these commandments. And you see, God knew, He knew that none of us could meet the standard of perfection because we all have failed. And the commandments were given to us to show us that we're sinners, that we need a Savior. And you see, from the very beginning, God had a plan. He knew this, okay? He had a bigger plan in motion to show us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior, which leads us to what? It leads us to the cross, right? And the realization that the only way we could be made right is if someone was perfect and they were willing to pay the price. Do you know anybody that was perfect and willing to pay the price? Jesus, right? Jesus was the one who was perfect. As a matter of fact, I have a little trick or illusion this morning that helps show us what Jesus did. I got my handy dandy little suitcase here, all right, that we're going to bring here down here this morning, all right. It's off to the side a little bit. I've got a little illustration I'm going to show you. Here we have a rope. Now, this rope, get at the hardware store, okay? It's not from the magic shop or anything like any, and I promise you that. It's just a regular sturdy rope, okay? You guys see that? Sturdy rope all the way down, pull it through, okay? Regular rope, okay? All right, now, the thing you see about this rope, it's nice. It's fairly new rope. Looks good, no blemishes, all right? This rope represents our life before the fall, okay? Before Adam and Eve ate of the apple, okay? It was perfect, it was right, we got to hang out with God, it was good, okay? But what happened? They ate of the fruit, right? They sinned, they failed. So we're going to do something here. We're going to come down about halfway. I sometimes get this right, and I sometimes mess it up, and so we'll see here. If I get it right about halfway, we're going to cut it. Now, that's the illusion. I made you think I cut the rope when I really didn't, okay? You believe that? I don't know. We'll see, all right? So we cut the rope. We're going to tie the rope back together because this is going to represent, when we tie it together here, this kind of represents now after the fall. That nice, nice, tight knot. Okay, now this represents our life after the fall. I didn't do too bad in my center. We're close. All right. So this now was what happened after the fall, right? We were broken. We had blemish. We weren't perfect anymore. This nice, long, perfect rope now, it has this break, this cut, this brokenness in it. And God knew from the very beginning He had a plan, right? He said, I'm going to take things into my hands and I'm going to provide a way to remove the brokenness from our life, okay? And He started with the Ten Commandments, showing us that we have this, because many people thought, oh, I'm good, I'm great. And then when they realized, oh man, I messed up here, they realized their brokenness. They realized that they had failed, okay? So I'm going to take this, I'm going to put it, and this is the hard part here. I just got to line it up because My thing here is it takes into God's hands, and so we got to get, oh, look, I'm good, right in the middle of the hand, okay? So we put it in the middle of the hand, and we hold on to it, and I've got my handy-dandy illustration, okay? This is the cross, because in the brokenness, God took things into his own hands, and the brokenness was there, right? And so he had a plan from the beginning. It's the brokenness, the commands that lead us to the cross. And you'll notice, I painted painted black mark or whatever, the backside of this cross black, okay? To represent what? The sin that Jesus took upon himself on the cross. As we said before, Jesus was without sin, right? But when he went up on the cross, you know what he did? He took all of our sin. You know what that means? Every sin that was ever committed before this time, and every sin that will ever be committed afterwards, even our own sin. You go, well, really? He took my sin from like a week from now? Yes. He took every sin upon the cross. And that's what this represents, all right? So he came, and so he died on the cross, right? And what do? They put him down into the grave. But what happened? He didn't stay there, right? He rose back up, all right? And so this side is to demonstrate when he rose back up, he conquered sin and death in our lives, all right? Now you're watching this hand, it hasn't moved. The rope's been here, right? Let's hope I pulled this off. All right? God took things into his own hands. And I love to do this illustration. I love to do that. I thought of it this week, and so I thought I'm going to try this. All right? So I thought of this. Jesus went on the cross. Right? What did they do to his cross when he was on the cross? They nailed it into his hands, right? And when he did that, and when he died, and he went down, he took and he threw it away. And that rope that was broken, that rope that was blemished, now has the ability to be righteous, to be fixed, right? Blew your mind. So, this is an illustration of what God wants to do. The commands show us that we're broken people, but we can walk in His righteousness and we can be made whole. A lot of us say, man, you don't know what I've done. I've done these things and I've mean to my sister and I punched her and I know I shouldn't have, or I've done this or I've done that. And we say, oh man, and some of you go, you don't even want to hear the stories of where I've gone and what I've done. And like, God can't forgive me. God died for all of us. It says He died while we were yet sinners. He died for us to make us whole. You see, the commandment helps us realize that our sin is real. It points to the fact that our sin is real. Romans 20:23, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of the Lord. And so because of that, we needed the cross. And so the commands, they lead us to the cross. And the cross helps us to realize that when we give our sins to Jesus, He makes them disappear. He removes that blemish from our life. He wipes it clean. Now, God's desire is that we would do our best to live out those commands, right? But as we've seen walking through these commandments, it's impossible for us to be perfect. We cannot be perfect. We are going to fail. Now, we can grow in our relationship with the Lord, right? We can get better and better at things. If there's certain things you continue to fail at, as you seek the Lord, you can get better at doing maybe farther in between before you fail. Keep working and keep growing in Him. But the reality is we are all going to have times in our lives where we struggle and fail. And it's those times that we need to be thankful for the cross, right? We need to be thankful for what God has done in our lives. Thankful for His love for us. Because He takes our sin and He makes it disappear, right? And that's the hard part for us, because guess what? We don't have the ability to forget. God forgives and forgets. What do? We ask for forgiveness, but we keep remembering, right? But yet, God says, I don't care. You've asked for forgiveness for that. Put that behind you and move on. God takes our sin and makes them disappear. I love Psalm 103:12. Psalm 103:12 tells us that God takes our sin and throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. Okay? Now, what does that mean? What is He saying, far as the east is from the west? Let me explain it to you the way I remember my youth pastor back in the days explaining this to me, okay? And I think the key to understanding this difference is understanding the difference between north and south and east and west. Why did he say as far as the east from the west? Why didn't he say as far as the north is from the south? What's different between north and south and east and west? There's a reason that he used the words east and west. And that's this. Because think about this. Here's the world, right? So we come around, here's the world. Here's us, right? We're on this side of the world right now. Imagine. Maybe if you turn it around, we'd be on this side. I don't know. Let's turn it back this way, okay? So here we are, all right? I just blew your mind again, right? You see that? Look at it. Well, look, no, nothing, no magic, nothing up my sleeves, okay? Here is our world, right? Here we are. If you start to head north, okay, here's our world, the crest right here. As we start to head north, what happens? There's a point where you start heading south. There's a definite difference between, you know, north and south meeting each other. But the reality is, what happens if I start to head west? Go west, young man. Don't even go east, right? Anyone big? No one's Michael W. Smith fans? All right. Go west, young man. Okay, anyways, if I start heading west, what happens? I keep going west. I never, ever again go east. That's God's desire for our life. He says, go west, young man or woman. Don't turn back. Don't go the other way. I'm going to take your sins and I'm going to throw them as far as the east is from the west. If you keep going that way, I won't remember them if you don't. That's what he's saying to us. He takes those and he makes them disappear. God has opened the door for us to walk in this thing called righteousness, where we can be right, not because of anything we've done. There's people out there, oh, well, if I live a good life, if I do this, if I do that. No, I'm sorry. You can live the best life you want, but if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going nowhere. He is the one that saves us from sin. He is the one that makes us righteous. God opened the door for us to walk into His righteousness. The key, though, is knowing His commands and knowing when we failed and when we need to seek for Him to cover our righteousness, right? If we don't know, we're just walking out there in sin. That's not a good thing. That's why God gave us these commands, so we could see, oh man, I've messed up. Oh, I failed. Oh, I've fallen short here. I need to give it to the Lord. And when we see where we've messed up, then all we have to do is confess our sins, like He tells us in 1 John 1:9, right? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, which means wash us clean from all unrighteousness, from all of our failures, from all of our mistakes. He will wash all that away and make us whole in Him. In other words, He takes our sin and He makes it disappear, right? It's a beautiful picture. I want to share with you one more fun illustration. Are you guys okay with that, or am I doing too many tricks? Are you guys okay with that? All right. I want to share with you one more fun illustration on how God takes. And I used to tell this story, but it's a long story. I didn't want to share it today. But there's a story that goes through talking about how God takes our dirty rags and exchanges them for clean rags. And so I want to do a little illustration with this. All right. Get my stuff ready here. I got some rags which represent the dirt and junk in our life, okay? They've just got different stains. I don't know. They came this way. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it's dice, okay? Gambling issues, all right? Whatever, I don't know. You know, this one's just a big old mess. It's just all the failures and guck in our life, you know, things that are on there, okay? Represent those. And this one, this is rated G service today, family service, so we just won't say anything there, but there's some lips on there and whatever that may be, all right? So, but these represent dirty rags in our life. But I've got this awesome splash detergent. I like to call it my miracle detergent of righteousness, okay? All right? So anyways, but it's just for an illustration. It doesn't really work quite this way, okay? But what you do with this, it's really simple. You open it up, okay? And you, a little bit of detergent in here, but we take these things and we say, you know what, God, I failed. I've made mistakes in my life. I need to give them to You. And so we take them, and we got it. Here's the key with this detergent. You got to get it down deep inside the detergent. Because a lot of times, here's how we work. A lot of times it's like, oh, God, yeah, kind of forgive me for this. But yeah, then we have a little bit just kind of, I want to be forgiven for this, but I don't know, I like this. Right? We sometimes hold on to little bits and things, and we don't like, no, God, I've failed. I've messed up. Take it all. Take it all from me. Get it down in there. I don't want to see it anymore, right? And so that's one of the keys. When we give it to the Lord, let's give it to the Lord. Give Him everything, right? He says, give it all to me. Take it. Let me take it. Let me just get it so I can get rid of it, all right? So we got to stuff it down inside it good, okay? Now we're going to close it up here. We're going to shake it up. The great thing is you don't have to do all this for the Lord, okay? You don't have to get all crazy like that for Him, all right? But we're going to shake this thing up, all right? Hallelujah! I don't know. It's better than abracadabra, right? Because I don't do that at church, okay? All right? So, hallelujah! All right, so we're going to turn it upside down, and now I know you're sitting there. So just follow with me, adults and stuff, all right? Because it's an illustration, okay? So here we go. So you put the dirty rags in one side, and guess what? You pull out the other side, clean rags, okay? We're going to count them with me, okay? We put in how many? Three? Okay, so one, okay? How many? Two. How many? I think there's one more in here. Did I reach through? Oh, there it is. Three? Three rags. Clean, all right. He takes and he washes and makes it disappear. Now, bear with me here, okay? You adults out there are going, I think I know how he does this, right? I figured this trick out because I've stuffed them into one side of the box and the other. But follow with me here. My hope is that, number one, whether you think you figured this out or not, you've caught this illustration, okay? You see, the commandments revealed to us that we have sin. We have dirty rags, right? It's revealed that to us. But the cross brought a way for us to get rid of the dirty rags, to give them to the Lord, so that He could pull out clean rags to give to us. He gave us these commands because He loves us. Do you see that? From the very beginning, up here, kids, I don't know if you've talked about much downstairs, but up here we talked about God gave us these commands not because He wanted to give us all these rules. He gave us these commands because He loved us. And He knew that these commands would lead us to the cross. And He sent His own Son, Jesus, to die on the cross because He knew it would provide a way for us to be restored with Him. You see, God had a process. He knew what He was doing from the beginning. He gave us these because He loved us. That's why the commands lead us to the cross. That's what the cross is all about. And that's why these commands are as much about God's love for us as John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, here's the thing about God. When we give our sins to Him, it's not an illustration or a gimmick. When we give our sins to God, He literally takes them. He takes our rags and He gets rid of them. I know many parents and older kids out there, you're like, oh, I know what you do. It's you got a little compartment in here. You put it in one side. You pull it out the other side. That would be a great trick that you could pull on young kids. But God doesn't pull tricks. You see, when God does it, He gets rid of them completely. They're gone. There's nothing there. He gets rid of the rags. We give Him the old, and He gives us new. He makes us whole, okay? I blew my middle schoolers' minds one time. I had a middle school kid that's like, oh, I know what you did, man. Let's see inside the box. I said, well, what if I just, and I had an extra box, and I just ripped it up. I said, oh, you mean like that? And I threw it up in the air. He was like, and there's a trick and allusion to this, and someday you might figure that out. I don't know. But with God, there's no tricks. God takes our sin. That's what the commandments are about. He wanted us to see that we are broken people and that we need a Savior, because without a Savior, we can't be restored to our relationship with God. And so He gave us these commands for us to see that. And then these commands lead us to the cross because He then gave us a Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus died on the cross and He says, now, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's God's desire for us. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about. They lead us to the cross. They lead us to Jesus. And that life is all about Him. From the youngest to the oldest in here, if you can learn that, youngest kids in here, if you can learn this, life is about Jesus. It's about honoring Him. It's about loving Him. It's about growing in Him. It's about serving Him. I can guarantee you, you will save yourself a lot of hurt and pain if you can learn that from the youngest of ages. Ask many of the adults in here that wish they would have learned that a long time ago, right? Because it's all about Jesus. It's about His love for us. And us learning how to love Him as well. Us learning how to give Him our failures so that we can walk in His righteousness. Amen? Can I pray real quick, guys, before we head out of here? Let me just pray. Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for this great group here, the family, great group of kids, Lord, this morning. We just thank you for them and thank you for the opportunity that we've had to just be together, to hear your word. And Lord, our desire is that your word would just penetrate our hearts, that Lord, we would understand your love for us. You gave us these commands not for rules and restrictions, but you know the hurt and pain these things bring to our life. And you know that, Lord, through them we need a Savior. We need you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your commands. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your love for us. May we learn how to love you back, Lord. May we learn how to do our best to live the way that you desire us to live. And when we don't, and when we fail, that we'd be people that immediately give those sins to you, that you can take them and that you can get rid of them. Throw them as far as the east is from the west, that you can take our old rags and give us new rags, Lord Jesus. And so we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your hand upon us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we walk out of here today, one, that you would just bless our time together with our picnic and barbecue, that it would just be an amazing time hanging out together. But two, Lord, as we walk through this week, that we would just be reminded of your love for us. If there are things in our life where we failed, Lord, that we would give them to you, that we would let you take them and get rid of them, Lord. If there's things in our life that we've given to you and we continue to let them come back up, Lord, remind us, you've forgotten them, Lord. To you, they're nothing. Let us put those things behind us and keep moving forward, Lord. And so we thank you for these things. Just be with us today. Help us to grow in you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.